All right, now let's jump into the word this morning and what God has to say with us, say to us. We're in this series called Encountering God, and we've been looking at the nature of the Father, the nature of the Son, then the nature of the Holy Spirit, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We're in our eighth week, actually, today, talking about what does it look like to encounter the Holy Spirit in our lives in ever-increasing ways. Pastor Rob last week, I thought, did just a phenomenal job by introducing this this truth of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And just quickly, a couple things in his message that really stood out to me as I watched it online. Rob asked the question, you know, to each one of us individually, like, what is your particular mission? Like, what is the Holy Spirit calling you to do? And he made the point that the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost didn't just fall on Peter and the other 119 people just watched and went, hey, that's really cool. I'm glad the Holy Spirit fell on you. The Holy Spirit fell on everybody who was there and open to what he wanted, and they all then used the gifts that had been poured out on them. The point is, the Holy Spirit isn't just for me to get up here and do my thing so you all can watch and then invite other people and watch the Holy Spirit work through me. The Holy Spirit wants to work through each and every one of us. And so what's his mission in your life? What is he wanting to do and calling you to do? The other thing that Rob said that really blessed me was we've got to abandon this kind of consumerism mindset where we think that coming to a local church is just about consuming and getting whatever we can out of any particular body. And then once we've got our full and sapped everything that we can from them, we just go down the street somewhere else and consume whatever they have. And so he said we have to abandon consumerism, and this is my word, it's not a word, but we need to embrace contributionism. We can't just be consumers, we've got to be contributors. And so our place here in the body is to be filled with the Spirit of God, figure out what our mission is right here and beyond these walls, and then be a contributing part of that mission. He made the point that the church as a whole suffers when each and every one of us don't operate in the gifts and callings that God has on our lives. The church as a whole suffers, the body suffers, because we're not all doing our part to contribute. He said that character matters. I loved this, was so strong. He said, if you're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, if you're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, and you want the gifts of the Spirit, he didn't say this, I'll say this, you're a train wreck waiting to happen. Character matters. Holiness matters. Motives are important. Why do you want to be filled with the Spirit? Why do you want the gifts of the Spirit in your life? So that you can prove how awesome you are to other people, or so that you can touch people with the love of Jesus? So really, really great job kind of on an introduction level. Now today we're going to pick it up and start unpacking the gifts of the Spirit. Friends, there's different categories or different lists that theologians have come up with over the years as they look at all of the gifts of the Spirit and they try to piece together and say, hey, these seem to have some common theme, and so they come up with these various lists. Now, this list or categories that I'm going to give you today and throughout the month of September, I'm very, very comfortable with this list. The list isn't, there's crossover, okay? Let me say it like that, that where you might see a gift on this list, but it really kind of applies to this list as well. So let me just give you my best shot at how I see these gifts kind of breaking down into categories. First of all, it would be, and we'll look at this today, the serving gifts. Next, we're going to be talking about salvation gifts, gifts that have to do with people experiencing salvation. Next, spiritual insight gifts. Really, really great stuff. I love this. Next, what I'm calling strengthening gifts, gifts from the Holy Spirit that bring strength into people's lives. And then last but surely not least, those that are the shepherding gifts. All five of these categories do a good job of listing some 19 gifts that specifically in the scripture are referred to as a gift of the Spirit, or clearly demonstrated that this is something that the Holy Spirit gifts people with, okay? So really, really good stuff here. Spiritual gifts are such a huge part of our spiritual lives, friends. I'm gonna give you just, again, three kind of quick things, and then we're gonna jump into this. But here's one of the things. The gifts of the Spirit, they help us overcome the limitations of our flesh. And what I mean by that is, you know, in our own natural lives and our own natural abilities or inabilities in this case, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us so that we can operate at a level that is beyond us. The gifts of the Spirit are given so that we can overcome our spiritual limitations. And so we find ourselves many times as followers of Jesus going, gosh, you know what? I just don't have what it takes to do that. How do you do that? I just don't have what it takes. You know what? You're absolutely right. You don't have what it takes, but the Holy Spirit does. And so the Holy Spirit helps us overcome our own limitations. You saying you don't have what it takes doesn't excuse you from getting involved. All it does is affirm your dependence upon Him for what He can do through you. So this is one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. The next one is gifts of the Holy Spirit, they help us expand the kingdom of God. And don't forget, that's why we're here. The gifts of the Holy Spirit allow us to get over our own limitations and then get into that territory of giftedness where what we do and how we operate touches people's lives in such a way that then the kingdom gets expanded right then and there. The next thing that I want to draw your attention to is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit help the body of Christ fulfill its destiny. Now, friends, listen to me. We're all in process. We're in process individually as a corporate church. But I'm just telling you, you have a spiritual destiny. God has things that He has uniquely called you to do. God has things that He has uniquely called us as people of Grace Chapel to do. Now listen, you will not and we will not fulfill our destiny in its fullness apart from the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in you and in us. It's not gonna happen. We will end up on that great day having not fulfilled our destiny and the fullness of our calling if we quench and deny and resist the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life. Our destiny matters, which means people's destiny matters and us answering our destiny. And it all happens through the gifts of the Holy Spirit without question. All right, just some introductory thoughts for you there. Let's start Romans chapter 12, verse 6, which is one of the anchor passages about the gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament, one of our anchor passages today for sure. Romans 12, 6, the Apostle Paul writes and says this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, every word, every phrase in this verse, we could unpack it for a year. But let me just say to you, it starts off by saying, having then gifts. It means it's a past tense. It is a done deal. You and I, who are born again, sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1, having then gifts. You, right now, you have gifts. And you go, like me? Well, I'm not special. It doesn't matter because they're there by the work of God's grace. Right. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So you have a gift. You have several gifts. And it's there by grace. And what is Paul saying? You've got to use them. You can't let them get dormant. You can't let them retire. Use your gifts. You're going to hear me use these three words over the next several weeks. They are the words discover, you can write this down, discover, develop, and deploy. Each and every one of us needs to discover the spiritual gifts that have been given to us. Then we need to learn how to develop them. Because God doesn't give you a gift and you operate 10 on a 10 scale the minute he gives it to you. Spiritual gifts require a developing, an enhancing, a growth, a continued relationship with God and a dependence on him. And then he takes the gift and sharpens it and hones it and makes it more powerful and more effective. So you've got to discover, you've got to develop it, and then you got to deploy it. You just have to use it. Having then gifts that differ, they're different for you and I. We all have different gifts according to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen, he gives us these gifts as he wills. He looked at your life in Christ and said, here's the gift I'm giving you, you, and you, and it's going to be different from what Sarah has or what Jonathan or Allison has or whatever it is. We have differing gifts, but they're of the same spirit, and we've got to discover, develop, and deploy them. We've got to use them so we can touch people with the kingdom of God, see it expanded, and fulfill our destiny, okay? That's how this works. Now, we're going to jump in this morning to the first category on our list, the serving gifts, okay? The serving gifts. The serving gifts, I want to tell you up front, they can appear to be, listen to me, they can appear to be the least spiritual of the gifts. Like we think a spiritual gift, wow, a spiritual gift. You know, that's like prophesying or speaking in a language we've never learned or working a miracle or seeing some healing take place. Yes, those are wonderful, fine gifts of the Spirit, but I'm telling you, there are serving gifts that are every bit as valuable to the functioning of the body of Christ and the expanding of God's kingdom as anything else. If you have a serving gift, please don't devalue it. Please don't diminish it. You are the backbone of what we do around here. Serving gifts, radically, super radically important, okay? So our first serving gift, get ready, this might surprise you. Artistry and craftsmanship, or sometimes the scripture will say workmanship. Do you know, friends, and you're gonna see this, artistry and craftsmanship holds a serious special place of importance in the kingdom of God. I'm gonna show it to you in a minute. But when we talk about the gift of artistry or craftsmanship, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about using your creative and artistic thoughts and skills to reveal the glory and the beauty of God to the people of God, to the creation of God, to the world. Using your creative and artistic thoughts and skills to reveal the glory and beauty of God. This is the purpose of artistry and craftsmanship. Exodus chapter 28, when God is giving Moses instructions about everything that's going to be in the tabernacle, everything from his brother Aaron's clothes to the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, everything in between. God gives him some marching orders, some directions, if you will. Exodus 28, 2 and 3. He says to Moses, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. Gifted artisans. God himself says there is such a thing as a gifted artisan. Gifted artisans, friends, they are called again to do things for the beauty and the glory of God. that reveal who he is, that bless the people of God. There's so many different reasons for it. But listen, this is art. This is painting. This is drawings. This is the writing of songs and the playing of music. This is poems and sculptures and structures, this is the gift of artistry and workmanship. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, how important is this gift of artistry and stuff? I love this. Exodus chapter 31, verses 3 through 5, excuse me. I love the prominent place that it has. God says, and I have filled him. His name is Bezalel. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. Why does the gift of artistry, workmanship, and craftsmanship have a great place with God? How do we know that? The first time, friends, you see in the entire Bible someone who is specifically mentioned as being filled with the Spirit, it's an artist. It's an artist. It's not a preacher. It's an artist. You have to remember the first thing that we know about God from the Scriptures, apart from his very beginning, his existence. Thank you. Great to have your wife on the front row. The first thing we know about God, apart from his very existence, is this. In the beginning, God created. God is a creative God. God is a God that creates things. He's the master artist. And so artists hold a serious place in God's heart. So if you are an artist, let me say, use your gift for the kingdom of God to reveal the beauty and glory of Jesus. Secondly, don't let anybody, even yourself or the enemy of your soul, convince you that your gift isn't a big deal. Your gift is a big deal. It matters to God, and it matters how you use it for the purposes of God. I was yesterday sitting in my house with Sarah and listening to my dear buddy, Ron Block. I don't know if Ron, are you in the room this morning? I don't know if you're here or out of town or skipping church. There you go. So I'm listening to Ron. He's got this newer album. It's called Banjophony, right? It's a banjo symphony that he did with Damien O'Kane in the UK. And I'm listening to acoustic guitar and banjo and a fiddle. And I'm convinced this is what we're gonna do in heaven. This might make you nervous. I was laughing and crying both. Total instrumental music coming from a sanctified, spirit-filled artist, Ron Block, that it communicates through the music. I've never heard anybody really unpack this next thing I'm gonna say, But why was it when the prophet Elijah was getting ready to prophesy that he called for a musician to be there first? You wonder why we start church with screaming guitar licks? It's preparing the way. There's something about that creative, artistic anointing that does something. Your gift matters, beloved. Use it, use it, use it, use it. All right, our second service gift is the gift of giving. Now, when we talk about giving, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about using God-given resources with exceptional, would y'all say exceptional? Exceptional. Using God-given resources with exceptional willingness, generosity, and cheerfulness to meet needs and bless people for the glory of God. Now, what's interesting about these next four gifts that we're going to look at, every one of these gifts are things that we're all called to do, every one of us, but there is, in addition to our own calling, there is that gifting that operates at a whole nother level. We're all called to give. We're told we need to be givers. And yet the Holy Spirit makes it clear that there is actually the gift of giving that he gives people to operate again at a greater level. Now, our passage for this, again, Romans chapter 12, verse 6, and then verse 8 is where it actually is mentioned. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Verse 8, he who gives with liberality. He who gives with liberality. Now, the first person, and I'm pretty sure about this, the first person that I came in contact with that had the gift of giving, and I get to share some of his stuff, and I get to brag on him because he's already in heaven and he's got his reward. My friend John Ring, many of you know him, Johnny Ring. I've never met him. I've met plenty of generous people. I've never found John Ring's equal, Fred. John Ring, let me just give you, I'm painting a picture so you can see, wow, that is the gift of giving. I met John Ring on a golf course in Fort Worth, Texas with James Robison a long time ago, over 25 years ago. When I told him I was moving here to plant this church, John Ring was one of the first people that came to our house, and he was for sure the first person, without even knowing the future of what was gonna happen here. John Ring wrote the first check for us to start this church in Tennessee. I barely knew him, he didn't come here, but that's who Johnny is. He's a giver. Every bit of dirt that's on this 175-acre campus has Johnny's hand on it. He developed the whole thing, that's his job, Tennessee Contractors, that's his company, that's what he did. He moved more dirt. I guess we could figure it out. I don't want to know, Jay. But I'm just telling you, hundreds of thousands of dollars here. No charge. Half off my cost over the years. Johnny and I sat right here on this altar when this building was being built and when it was still just 2x4s underneath the carpet. The building was nowhere near being finished, but the altar was. Sat here and prayed right here for souls, for God to use Grace Chapel, for God to save people. And Johnny made it his goal to give and support for the reaching of people and the expanding of the kingdom of God. If you were ever benefited from him walking around at Christmas time, John Ring would walk around at Christmas time. Am I lying? This is the truth. John Ring would walk around here at Christmas time, not making a big deal, not, you know, with a bunch of flash or drawing attention to himself. He'd have a stack of envelopes in his hand this big, and he would hand out gift cards for Honey Baked Hams just to people. I don't even know how many hundreds of gift certificates he gave out, just loving on people, just loving on people. A giver, way above and beyond what we're all called to. It is the gift of giving. Now, friends, I'm grateful for Brian and Rochelle who go to Mexico, and we've got people going all over the place. I'm grateful for the people that go. They're to be honored. But they can go because others send. So you might not be a goer, but you might be a sender. And what you do, as much as it might not be up front or whatever, and everybody knows about it, it doesn't happen apart from you. What we're doing now and have done and will do into the future, it happens because there are people that give because we're obedient to give, and then there's people on top of that who give with the gift of giving, and they do it, as the scripture says, with liberality. With liberality, man. They can't wait to do it. So it is a spiritual gift. And it's one that we all need to at least open our hearts and minds up to. I think many of these serving gifts, people go, I never even realized that that was a gift. I never even realized. I just kind of thought that that's how I was. No, God, if this resonates in your heart, God has given you the gift of giving. Okay? Number 3, ministry. the gift of ministry. Some of your translations might say serving or service, but here's what it is. It is using the gift of ministry to selflessly and joyfully serve people's spiritual, physical, and emotional needs. We're all called to minister. I'm not the minister here, and you all are what you are. Ephesians 4 tells us that my job is to equip you, the saints, for the work of the ministry. We're all ministers. We're all called to ministry. But then again, above that, like giving, there is the gift of ministry that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. He says, or ministry, let us use the gift, if you will, in our ministering, okay? Now, this gift of ministry, it could be, but it may not necessarily be upfront and public. The gift of ministry very well could be behind the scenes. People with the gift of ministry, they strengthen infrastructure. They attend to details that make everything else kind of happen as well. It's like, you know, these crazy people that stand out there in the dead of summer or in the freezing cold of winter, out there smiling. They're crazy people out there smiling, helping direct traffic. They need prayer. People out driving golf carts, loving, serving people, greeting people, welcoming people into the house of God, welcoming them in. So they get told where to go by someone who's really nice, and they get a ride in a golf cart, and other people just stand at the door just loving on, serving, ministering, welcoming people in. Listen, the gift of ministry, friends, it takes down so many roadblocks that try to keep people from encountering Jesus. We've got a great parking lot team, a great golf cart team. We got a great greeter team and all that stuff. People get a dose of Jesus before they hear Jonathan strum the first note. Now you can go, well, I don't think what I do really matters. Yes, it does matter. It matters. You matter. The gift of ministry matters. Again, you are the backbone of what happens around here. We can't do what we do apart from people answering the call that's on all of us to minister, but above and beyond that, to operate in the gift of ministry. People, what can I do? How can I help? I don't care what it is. I don't need to be seen. I'll come and stuff envelopes and pens behind the chairs. I'll come and vacuum or clean toilets or rake leaves or cut grass or whatever. Just how can I help? These people with the gift of ministry, they seem to be everywhere. They're involved in everything. Thank God for people who operate in the gift of ministry. Our newest elder and one of my oldest friends, Mike and I have been friends for 30 years, Mike Harris. If this guy didn't have the gift of ministry, none of us have hope. Mike Harris is unbelievable. That guy is ministering, serving, driving buses, picking this group of kids up, going on this retreat, having these people over, just serving all over the place all the time. He wears me out. I don't know how Mike does what he does, but I'm grateful that he does it. These people who have the gift of ministry, beloved, they get what Jesus said. They really get it. When Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life for people. They get it. And I'm grateful that they get it. Friends, when ministry gifts aren't used, the strength and integrity of the church as a mission organization is seriously compromised. We cannot do and we cannot reach everyone we are called to without the working backbone of the church functioning, and a huge part of that is people who are operating in the ministry gift. Yes, it might not look to be spiritual, but it makes spiritual things happen much better. Number four. It is the gift of helps. Now again, everybody's called to help other people. There's no question about that. But this is the gift of helps that the scripture talks about. And as we see this passage in a second, you're going to see the weighty, just awesome list that helps is included in. Look at this. Well, first of all, let me give you a definition. It is using your resources to joyfully help others by relieving them and enabling them to accomplish a task with a decreased burden. The gift of helps, it's helping people out. It's making their life easier. It's making their load lighter. It's coming alongside with what you have, whatever resource that might be, and bringing help. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Now look at this list. God's appointed these in the church. First a prophet, first apostles, second prophets, a prophets. This is a new term, yes. It's an apostle and prophet both, yes. God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings and helps. What a list. And helps, then administrations and varieties of tongues. Helps, sandwiched in there with apostles and prophets and miracles and healings. Now, the gift of helps, friends, it's much like the gift of ministry, but it's more personal and focused and kind of less corporate. It's more directed at a specific person at a specific time rather than a large corporate event or production or mission project. People with the gift of helps see an individual and help. Again, I want to say, you may not create art. You may not be able to give a fortune. You may not be serving in some spotlight. But the widow who needs her grass cut, beloved, the single mom who needs help moving, the homeless guy who needs a hand, they go completely unreached and untouched without the gift of helps stepping up and meeting the need. Helps, the gift of helps again. Doesn't sound super spiritual. We just help people. Aren't we supposed to help people? Well, yeah, we're supposed to help people. But people who help, like a capital H, they help. They're called to that. Their heart beats for when they see someone or something that just needs their energy and their anointing. Man, they latch on and figure out, hey, what are we going to do to relieve? This is the root of the word for help, to relieve this person. How can I lighten their load? I don't know why I was like that. I just thought that was just kind of the person I am. It is the person you are because it's the way the Holy Spirit has gifted you and anointed you. You are a God-called helper. Glory to God for you. Now, number five is the gift of hospitality. I might expose myself if I say which one of these gifts is my favorite. Hospitality. Again, we're going to see everybody's called to be hospitable. The scripture couldn't be clearer. But hospitality as a gift, it is using the gifts and graces of food. Someone say hallelujah. It is using the gifts and graces of food, fellowship, and yes, even lodging in a warm and welcoming way to guests, and it can be in your home or all kinds of other places. But someone, listen, someone who has the gift of hospitality, it's a great place to go for a meal. It's a great place to go for an encounter with the Holy Spirit operating through them. Listen, we all need to be hospitable, and you get an invitation to someone's house and they're hospitable, or you go to, listen, hospitable's fine. But the gift of of hospitality is a whole other level. Because someone who's operating in the gift of hospitality, you get to their house, you get to wherever the event is gonna happen, and you know that you know that you know that you are loved and cared for. You know that this person has been planning and preparing and providing and creating an atmosphere so that when you walk in, you feel great. You know, you're never gonna have to wonder, can I only have this much because there's four or five other people here? There's enough for this much for you and this much more with someone with the gift of hospitality. They're never gonna let someone think there's not enough to stuff your entire face. This isn't someone who throws in a frozen pizza. Listen, I love frozen pizza. This isn't someone who throws in a frozen pizza on a paper plate. This is someone who makes the dough. This is someone who creates the sauce. This is someone who grates the cheese and puts it a sliver at a time on top of the pie so that it's wonderful. This is someone that's got candles going. This is someone who's got soft music playing. This is someone who has provided an experience for you. When they say, time to go, you're like, no. I'm moving in. Someone with the gift of hospitality. Listen, when you leave their experience, you feel blessed. You feel refreshed. You feel rested. You feel incredible. Now listen to me. We need help with this one. We need practice with this. Now, I started off by talking about God being creative, right? And having a special place for artistic types. How many of you know it was God's idea to come up with this thing called the marriage supper of the Lamb? God himself is preparing a feast in the spirit of hospitality so that when we enter into that divine hospitable moment, we get to experience the bounty of his overflowing goodness. I can't imagine what the brownies are gonna taste like. Orobish, I mean, they're gonna be good, they're gonna be good. This is the heart of God. There's something in this, again, that just says, hey, I'm welcoming you to the table. Let's sit and commune and break bread. One of the early practices of the church, what, was getting together and breaking bread. There's something wonderful. God knows this. You have a meal with someone. Put your phones away. Talk, converse, talk about what's real in life. There's something that happens. So I'm grateful for everybody operating in, you know, being hospitable, but I just want to say, for those of you with the gift of hospitality, my calendar is wide open. That's right. Elder meetings, whatever, I'll figure it out, but Sarah and I will be there. Now, where's our passage of scripture for this? 1 Peter 4:9-10. Look at, he says, be hospitable to one another and do it without grumbling. Oh, I'll have Pastor Stephen Sarah over, all right. Guess I can't make them frozen pizza now. And he said, no, everybody, all of us, let's be hospitable to one another, do it without grumbling. But now look at what the next verse says. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold or the multicolored grace of God. He says the same thing Paul's saying. We've all been given a gift, and make sure that you use it. And do it with the right heart and the right motive. Don't be grumbling about it. But be hospitable, he said. And then he addresses the fact that we've been given gifts. I am absolutely convinced from being with people who have the gift of hospitality that hospitality is indeed a gift. Now, here's my closing question for you. What's the most important, don't answer out loud, think about it. What's the most important and valuable spiritual gift? Well, Berger clearly likes hospitality. What is the most important and valuable spiritual gift? Think about that. Okay, what might that be? Going through the list of gifts in your head. Okay, all right. Well, I hope I don't rain on your parade, but here would be my answer. The one that's most needed in any given situation. That's the most valuable gift. Because for the person who's broke down on the side of the road and like needs help, they don't care whether you prophesy. Like they need a ride. Right? Like the person who's hungry, like they don't care if you speak in tongues. Like they need a meal. Right? So the serving gifts, although they might not appear to be so spiritual, many, many times they are exactly what's needed in the moment. Therefore, it is the most important spiritual gift. What it means is no matter what gift any one of us have, they're all valuable and they are the perfect thing at some time. It means I'm not gonna devalue my gift. I'm not gonna pretend like it, you know, well, it's not what so-and-so has and it's not as powerful or flashy as what they do. So what? When I operate in my gift in that moment, it is me fulfilling my divine destiny and God brings his anointing and goodness with it and it touches people's lives and it's the exact same for you. So don't minimize your gift ever. I'm going to end with the scripture we started with. Beloved, having then gifts, differing according to the grace of God that is given to us, let us use them. I had a man come up to me after first service and he said, Steve, you know how I was sitting there thinking, kind of the marriage supper of the Lamb and all that stuff? And he said, we're going to be in the presence of God who is the manifestation of every gift. What will that be like to be in the presence of him who is the container, the holder, the manifestation of every gift? Don't you think that's gonna be incredible? I said, well, yeah, it's gonna be incredible. He said, well, here's the thought I had. What if people walked in those doors and every single person here was operating in their individual gift? Don't you think they might feel like they're in heaven too? I told him, friend, that's good. I'm stealing that. It's one of my gifts. My point is, friends, what if every single one of us from our heart said, Lord, help me discover, or maybe remember. Help me discover my spiritual gifts. And Lord, I'm so serious about this that I am going to use these gifts. I'm gonna deploy these gifts. And I realize that I've gotta develop it. I've gotta use it. I've gotta let you breathe on it. I've gotta practice this, if you will. I'm gonna watch you increase the gifting in me as I am faithful in using it. Well, let's pray together. Father, we wanna thank you for your word this morning. We wanna thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in your word. We're grateful, oh God, for artistry, for giving. We're grateful, Lord, for ministry, helps, and hospitality. Lord, if any of these five gifts belong to anyone in this room, I pray we would discover it, maybe for the first time, or maybe, Lord, this has been a friendly reminder to dust it off and to start using it again. Lord, help us discover what you've called us to. Lord, help us develop it, and then help us to deploy it. We want to use the gifts as your word tells us to. And Lord, when people come here, may they find themselves in a community of people who have cared enough about them to create a heavenly atmosphere so that they might experience Jesus. Lord, we bless you. We love you. We can't say it enough. Thank you for considering mere mortals and giving us such great gifts for your honor and glory. May our lives be a reflection of all that is beautiful and believable about Jesus. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name. And the gifted church of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. We will see you Wednesday night, 6:30. God bless.